Gracious Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask that now as we open ourselves to your word, that you would bring about your good purposes in our life, good purposes of grace and mercy and peace. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. John Calvin once said, when God's Spirit is taken away, our hearts harden into stones. I'll say it again. When God's Spirit is taken away from us, our hearts, they harden into stone. They harden into stone so that the dew of God's hope will not permeate or saturate. The eyes of our heart are therefore blinded so that we cannot see truth, even though it's right in front of us. And our hearts are closed and boarded up like an old building so that light cannot penetrate and bring life. So I ask you the question, what is Jesus doing now? And the answer to that question for tonight is reversing that situation. If you haven't been with us before, or if you've just forgotten what we've done for the last 5 weeks, we're doing a sermon series on what is Jesus doing now. So we often say Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Now, between the first two, Christ has died and Christ is risen, there's 3 days. But between the second and the third, Christ is risen and Christ will come again, there's what? 2,000 years and counting. So the obvious question is, what is he doing? What's he doing all this time? Just sitting down, twiddling his thumbs, waiting in the eternal waiting room for his name to be called to say it's time? Well, what we've seen is that's not the case. What we've seen is that, firstly, Jesus is reigning on high at the right hand of the Father. He's holding all of creation together because he is the King of Kings. He's preparing a place for us. He's the head of the church. We've seen also that he's interceding for us. And tonight, what we're going to see is that he is increasing the size of the church. And the way he is increasing the size of the church is by opening the hearts of all people. Now, the first question you probably need to deal with then is, why does Jesus need to open our hearts? I'm glad you asked that question. Let me go through an answer. Why does he need to open our hearts? Well, it's because of our default position. You know when you get a new piece of software, or say you get a new app on your phone, and it comes with its default settings. And if you're not aware of this, then just talk to someone younger than you and they'll explain to you what default settings are. But usually it's got something to do with privacy. And there's all these settings, and you find a little button and you can change, you know, what it does and how much information it gives to, you know, third party about your data. They're default settings. We too have default settings. You might say, what sort of default settings have we got? Well, I'm glad you asked that question too. Up on the screen, you're going to see one of them. Jeremiah chapter 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? That's not a great default setting, is it? Jesus says in John chapter 12, he, the evil one, has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts nor turn, and I would heal them. That's also not a great default setting, is it? And yet that is our default settings. We have hard hearts, blinded eyes. We cannot see even if the truth is right in front of us. Now, I need to probably say at this point that I will probably use interchangeably the idea of having blinded eyes and hard hearts, or the eyes of our hearts closed, or, you know, I'll just sort of use them all interchangeably. Now, you could make an argument that there's a difference between them, but the whole idea is that without the work of God, we can never fully know or fully understand all that he offers us. And that's why even Jesus says in John 12, you know, he talks about our eyes and our hearts. And so if Jesus can combine the two, I reckon I can combine the two as well. Now, they were just two examples of our default settings. I could have picked a lot of examples of our default setting. And what we see Jesus doing now, as he reigns on high with the Father, is he's changing the default settings in each one of us. He is opening our eyes, opening our hearts, and drawing people to himself. And we saw it today in two stories, one from Acts and one from the book of Luke. Let me talk to you about Luke first. And that passage that I just read from Luke 24, it's the story of the disciples on the Emmaus Road. Have a look with me if you've got your Bibles there, or Luke chapter 24. Beginning at verse 23, it says, "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened." Now, a bit of context here. This is the day that Jesus has risen. So the things that they're talking about when it says everything that had happened was everything that had happened on Easter weekend. And it says two of them. So who are the two? Well, for want of a better description, they are disciples with a little d. If you have a look in verse 9, you'll see that says, when the men came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. They're part of the others. So they're not part of the disciples, capital D. They're part of the disciples, little d. So they're the hangers on. They saw Jesus. They knew who Jesus was. So you would expect that they would recognize him when he walks up next to them on the road. Now, for various reasons, and it's probably got a lot to do with his resurrection body, they didn't recognize him. And they get into this conversation. And you would have expected that if there was going to be two people who would have had default settings that allowed them to understand everything that Jesus had done on the Easter weekend, you would expect these two disciples to have the default settings, wouldn't you? You would expect them to understand what Jesus did for them. But what we see here is that they have all the jigsaw pieces, but not any idea of the puzzle. You see that in verse 19 and following. They're looking downcast, and Jesus asks them, "What things?" And they say, "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people." There's a couple of jigsaw puzzle pieces. "The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him." More jigsaw puzzle pieces. "But we had hoped that he was one who was going to redeem Israel." Another jigsaw puzzle piece. "And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place," and it goes on. So they had all the pieces, they just had no idea what the picture was meant to be. They can't see. And so Jesus responds in verse 25 with these words. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did you not know that the Christ had to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Might sound a bit harsh to say how foolish. It is a bit of a rebuke, somewhat gentle. It's basically saying, how dull are you that you don't get it? Don't you see all the jigsaw puzzle pieces that you've got? Can't you see the bigger picture? Jesus is basically saying. And therefore he explains to them from Moses and the prophets all that was meant to happen. Now let me jump to the end of the story. We didn't get a chance to read it, but if you know the way the story ends, eventually they do recognize it's Jesus. They recognize it's Jesus when he breaks the bread, and all of a sudden they go, "Ah, it's Jesus!" And he disappears from their sight. But then they say in verse 32, they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us whilst he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Isn't that the most amazing description? Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus opened the scriptures to us? Here you have the word of God opening the hearts of men. And interestingly enough, in this story, it's the word of God, picking up the ideas of John chapter 1, Jesus being the Word, opening up the Word, the Bible, the Scriptures, and their hearts are burning, they say. I take it to be that God's Spirit is moving in them. The Spirit of God is opening their eyes, softening their hearts of stone, And the only way that they can describe that feeling is that their hearts are burning within them as the Word of God opens the Word of God. Now, you might be tempted to say, well, that's only little d disciples. The big D disciples, you know, the 12, they would have got it, wouldn't they? And that would, there could be nothing further from the truth. Because we also heard that in the reading from tonight, that they too had to have their eyes and hearts opened. Have a look what it says in verse 44. This is when Jesus appears before him, before them, and he says to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Here were 11, because Judas is no longer with them now. Here are 11 who walked with Jesus every day for 3 years. And even they had all the jigsaw puzzle pieces and couldn't put it together. Their default settings were such that their heart needed to be softened and God opened their eyes. But it wasn't just the disciples either. It was Lydia too. So don't worry about going to this one. I'll just read it out for you. It's a very short story. But Lydia was that story from Acts. It says, on the Sabbath, Paul went outside the city gate to the river where he expected to find a place of prayer. He sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of them who was listening was a woman called Lydia from the city of Thyatira. She was a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. And here we go. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. The Lord opened Lydia's heart to hear and respond to the word of the Apostle Paul. Lydia is a Gentile. She's a God-fearer, which means that she believes in God, but she doesn't have all the jigsaw puzzle pieces until Paul starts to reveal all the jigsaw puzzle pieces. But it's God who opens her heart. Now, you might also be saying, actually, is it the Holy Spirit or is it Jesus who is opening the hearts? Now, look, I'm not going to get into a huge theological debate with you tonight. Simply to say, the scriptures do say that the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and does indeed teach us all that God commands. And Jesus also said, I send you the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to say Jesus continues to open people's hearts. He's opening hearts then, he's opening hearts now. Because our default position is one of hardness of heart, blinded to the truth. And I don't know if you noticed in that story that was read for us about Acts, but there's two parts to the story. There is the Lord opening the heart of Lydia, but there's Paul speaking. I find that both a challenge and an encouragement. A challenge because it means we need to be like Paul, which is we do need to be witnesses, don't we? Now, we talk about our four W's here. We know what they are. They're on the wall out there. And one of them is witnesses. Part of our DNA is to be a witness for Jesus. And I often talk about we leave this place tonight to go back into the communities wherever God has planted us. And that community can be uni, it can be work, it can be school, it can be home, it can be the gym, it can be the bowling club. I don't know where it is. You know where it is. Wherever God plants you, whatever community that is, we're planted back there to be witnesses to him. I often say we're planted to be walking billboards for Jesus. Walking advertisements for him. But we also, like Paul, need to be able to give a reason for the hope that we have. So that's the challenge in the communities in which we're placed. But the encouragement is, we're just the mouthpiece. God's the one opening people's hearts, opening their eyes and drawing them to him. Which means it's not dependent on how eloquent I am, thank goodness for that. It's not dependent on me having all the answers. Again, thank the Lord for that. He's the one who's doing that. He's the one opening people's hearts and minds. I just need to be faithful. In the end, it's all God. Which brings me to what we alluded to last week. Both Karen and Trev mentioned last week that the bishop has encouraged us. He's challenged us. He's dared us. He's goaded us. Or maybe not dared and goaded us, but he's indeed challenged and encouraged us to be part of what he's calling the diocesan prayer adventure. Now, what is the diocesan prayer adventure? Again, I'm glad you asked that question. It's related to what we're talking about tonight. It's related to this idea of opening people's hearts and what the Lord does well. The idea of talking to God about people before we talk to people about God. Now, look, I could go on about this, but why don't I just let Bishop Matt speak for himself? Thanks, Karen.
Friends, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples just before he was about to leave them, firstly to go to the cross and then to go back to heaven, he said, "Just as the Father has sent me, so I send you." That's very exciting to be included in the very mission of God. But it can be frightening, and it can be, well, a cause for where do I start first? And the best place for us to start is to be talking to God about the people we hope to reach in his name. So to talk to God about people before we talk to people about God. And so this year, for 2019, I'd like to invite you to be part of a diocesan prayer adventure where we do exactly that. We talk to God about people so that in time we might be able to talk to people about God. Now soon, you'll each receive a little brochure and a bookmark to help you do that. Because my invitation is that you use the bookmark to be able to record three people who you are going to pray for each day for a year, knowing that God already knows them and praying that they might too come to know God. And then over the course of this next year, to be able to pray for yourself, that God might give you opportunities to be able to reach out with love and kindness, with service, and with gentle opportunities to share your faith. But will you join with me in the diocesan prayer adventure to talk to God about people so that in time we might be able to talk to people about God?
So did you receive one of these when you came in? No? I'm going to ask Matt to be at the, not right now, wait for it, at the end of the service. He's going to be at the door and he's going to be handing out these to all of us. See, the idea is it's all contained in this brochure, but just let me show you the bookmark. Basically, the idea is write three names. Doesn't need to be people you don't know. It can be people you do know. It's a sibling, a child, a grandchild, a work colleague, someone you play sport with, whoever. But talking to God about them for this next year, before we talk to them about God. And looking for opportunities to talk to them about God. If it happens to be before the end of the 12 months, that's okay. You're allowed to go ahead and talk to them about God. But the idea being that we might actually ask God to open their hearts, because that's what Jesus is doing now. So, what is Jesus doing now? He is reigning on high, for he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is holding all things together because he is the Creator. He is the head of the church because he bought the church with his precious blood. He is interceding for us because he's not some distant, uncaring God. And right now, as he has always been doing, he is opening people's eyes, softening people's hearts, changing the default settings so that we might know who he is and the grace and the hope and the mercy that he offers. He did it for me. I pray that he's done it for you. And we pray that he does it for the three people that we put on these bookmarks. Let me pray for us now. Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask, Lord, that you would indeed open the hearts of the people that we put on that bookmark. For Father, you are a God who continues to draw people to you. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you would open their hearts, that you would open their eyes, change their default settings. So like Lydia, like those disciples, like those apostles, they too might know and understand who you are and the grace and the mercy that you offer. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.